Our next public hearing is change of zone number 1641, Thomas E. Frank.
This is an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a B1 neighborhood business district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, for land lying west of Muddy Neck Road, also known as Road 361, and northwest of Parker House Road, also known as Road 362, and to be located on 3.93 acres, more or less. For the benefit of the commission, on April 20th, the commission was provided with an exhibit booklet of this three-ring binder. All the commissioners have copies. It has been made available in the file since the receipt of it on the 20th. And it is a part of the record as I stated. Also, for the record, over the last several days, I've received approximately, to date, I've received 24 letters of opposition. I passed, rather than read 24 letters of opposition, I made copies for the commission members. So you don't have to listen to me read for the next hour, so I can't say it down.
Those will be part of the record, though.
They will be part of the record, and I leave a copy at the front for the applicant. And I have a couple of agency comments to read into the record. From the Department of Transportation, and dated August 13th of 2007, and also comments received and dated August 15th of 2008, and also comments received April 23rd, or dated April 23rd and received today. The Department of Transportation has reviewed the site plan. Last revised April 14th of 09 for the reference application and has no objection as shown on enclosed drawings and noted below. This letter is for entrance location only and does not authorize the commencement of entrance construction. And they provide note that the site shall have a commercial entrance from Road 361 and the entrance shall be designed in construction for the total build out of the site. Makes reference to the site consisting of three buildings totaling 27,448 square feet. A building permit for this site shall not be issued until the entrance and roadway improvements plans have been approved by the Department of Transportation. A certificate of occupancy for this site shall not be issued for buildings 1, 2, or 3 until all the entrance and roadway improvements have been completely constructed and final inspected and approved by the South District Permit Supervisor. Entrance plan shall be developed in accordance with Delaware's rules and regulations prior to entrance approval. From the Office of State Planning Coordination, we have a letter just to clarify that this application was not required to go through the PLUS process, which their office handles through the other agencies for all the state agencies, I should say. They have reviewed the site. The office feels the proposed project is in keeping with the adjacent proposed and existing land use activities, and we're not required to go through the PLUS process. From from the County Engineering Department, and again, just received today. They make reference again to the location of the site, the application, the size of the proposed buildings in total. The site is located in a county-operated and maintained sanitary sewer district, which is the South Ocean View Sanitary Sewer District. Wastewater capacity is available for the project as long as the parcel does not exceed 15.01 equivalent dwelling units if annexed into the town of Ocean View, or 12.08 equivalent dwelling units if the parcel develops under current county zoning. Ordinance 38 construction will be required. There is one system connection charge credit for this site. The current system connection charge rate is $5,306 per EDU, equivalent dwelling unit. The parcel is currently served with a lateral along the parcel's frontage on Muddy Neck Road. An upgrade may be required. Conformity to the South Coastal Area Planning Study 2005 update will be required. In other comments, it states the parcel is in the South Ocean View Sanitary Sewer District in connection to the sewer system is mandatory. The proposed development will require a developer-installed collection system in accordance with county standard requirements and procedures. The county engineer must approve the connection point. The county engineering department requires that a sewer concept plan be submitted for review and approval, and they provide a checklist for preparing conceptual plans. And that was signed by John Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. And gentlemen, I believe that's all I have at this time.
All right, so we thank you. Is there anyone here that with an interest in this project this evening? Anyone in the public with an interest in this project? There we go, great. Feel free to get up and move around quietly if you want to get up and look at these exhibits, because I know they're hard to see, especially from where you're sitting. And I just ask you if you would just do it quietly and without conversation, please, because we're going to move on. But I know you want to see what's going on. And then if you'd like to take a seat closer to the front, you might be able to hear a little bit better as well. So with that that being said, the chair will recognize as Mrs. Ballier. I've never seen this many people get up at one time.
Be careful what you ask for, Mr. Weaver.
Well, I'm delighted that they're interested.
That's right.
Frankly, we're going to give them a minute, I think, to look them over. And while we're doing that, I do have a question that I want to ask you. And I've just never seen this designation before. What's an LC? I know what an LLC is.
It's actually a limited liability company. They just abbreviate it as LC.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah,
apparently it is legal. I knew you could either do it with periods or no periods, capitals or no capitals, but you can actually just do it with one L. How about that? Okay.
But he is a formed limited liability company.
Okay. All right.
Sounds even good. If the name doesn't look that way to you.
Okay. Okay, well, Ms. Bally, I'm going to ask you to proceed. Folks, you're still welcome to look. I'm sure there will be some explanation of what we're looking at here before too long, so please bear with us. Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay. Good evening, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Heidi Bally, and I'm with the law firm of Tunnel and Razor, and I am here on behalf of American Senior Housing, the applicant for the change of zone 1641. With me this evening is Mr. Thomas Frank. He's the sole member of the limited liability company. Also is Mark Davidson, an engineering consultant with DC Group, and we will be presenting this evening. The application before you proposes a change from AR1 to B1 zoning. Currently, this property is a vacant parcel of land. There were structures on the property that have been removed. This request is for a zoning change to B1, which would permit neighborhood business uses. I would like to confirm for the record what we're addressing tonight is the change of zone. Some of the information we may present this evening may be reflecting the applicant's intended use, but I just wanted to confirm for the record what we're addressing is a change of zone, not the site plan approval. With that understanding, the applicant's future plan does propose neighborhood business type use, which for the record are permitted under sections 115-68, which is the B1 zoning code. The stated purpose of the B1 zoning district is, in quote, to provide primarily for retail shopping and personal service uses to be developed either as a unit or in individual parcels, to serve the needs of a relatively small area, primarily nearby rural, low-density or medium-density residential neighborhoods. In support of my client's application for change of zone, we've submitted a project booklet, which Mr. Lank referred to, which was timely filed, and for which Mr. Davidson and I will refer to from time to time this evening in our presentation. We would like that to be included as a part of the record this evening, and I would also like to raise a few items in support of the application outside of that booklet as well. Number one, surrounding uses and uses of the general vicinity. In the immediate vicinity, there is currently various zoning designations. The first being Melson Funeral Home, which is designated B1, which is adjacent or in the most immediate vicinity. Shady Dell Park is zoned GR. Summerfield is zoned MR. Providence is zoned HR and is also an RPC. I had spoken with Mr. Lank this morning. We believe there is an unconfirmed, non-conforming use directly across the property that has existed prior to the zoning code, which is the reason it's not conforming, that is currently used as a produce stand, and it appears to be under expansion or renovation at this time. The maps that were in the back of your booklet were very informative for me to be able to look at the site and to see how the community has changed over time. The maps start from 1937 and proceed to 2007. Starting with the 1992 area map, you see a significant change in this area. The 2007 map shows the entire surrounding region surrounding this parcel having been developed except for the applicant's parcel and a very few other smaller parcels of land. Our proposal is that B1 is the best use of the parcel of land based on the fast-paced growth of this area that it's seen. Use of the property strictly under AR1 uses, we believe, is essentially out of character now to the surrounding property owners. And those uses can be offensive. For instance, under AR1, primarily agricultural use, with farming purposes, which includes any type of farming operation, dog kennels or animal stables, would not be uses compatible with the surrounding neighborhoods that are there, and we believe would most likely be offensive to those neighbors. The applicant has studied its plan for its future use under B1 zoning and combined it with self-imposed deed restrictions so as to create, they believe, a harmonious relationship with the adjacent landowners. What I mean by self-imposed restrictions is if the applicant's application is approved, we are proposing to proffer possible deed restrictions, which would be included on our site plan, that would minimize concerns of the surrounding neighbors. And when you see the letters of opposition, you see some of those concerns. We feel that the restrictions will help resolve many of those opposition's concerns. The restrictions, are included, and they're labeled as conditions in the booklet, although this is not a conditional use, so we're not including conditions. We would impose these types of items as restrictions on the property, and the applicant is willing to do that. I'll just summarize a few of those. Particularly one is to make any buildings on the site have an architectural style that appears to be residential, and so it fits in with the community. And that's not hard to do with a lot of the architectural standards we have out there now. The second is to create a pedestrian walkway, and you can actually see that on the site plan that is up on the board. Proceeding from the back of the property, moving towards the front of the complex, if they would build that type of site, they would propose a pedestrian walkway to connect the community so they will allow adjacent property owners to be able to walk to the site rather than drive. They would construct privacy fences along the common boundary line of this property and Shady Dell Park subdivision. Any lighting that would be included is, of course, downward illuminated and would not encroach into the adjacent properties. Dumpsters would be located well within the site so as to minimize any odors. They would comply with any of the DelDOT roadway improvements. Particularly for the Providence community, they've raised an issue or concern with the noise from HVAC. One of the deed restrictions proposed is any commercial ventilation fans, vents, heating and air conditioning units will be placed on the roofs of the building and will be placed at least 30 feet from adjacent boundary lines and will be screened to preclude any visibility from the Providence community. And then we would limit hours of operation to 11 o'clock so the concerns of noise or late night activity is minimized. And minimize any outside noises, no outside ringers or bells and things of that nature. So that concludes those deed restrictions. For infrastructure for the site, there are utility services, as Mr. Lank indicated. We have been allocated sewer EDUs for the site, and water would be provided by Tidewater. There is a letter in your booklet from Tidewater indicating that they have are committed to provide that for the site. Traffic, as stated, there are no objections from DelDOT. For parking on the site, there's ample acreage based on our initial findings for a site plan. There's more than enough acreage to supply parking for the proposed uses. Dealing with the need of the community, this site is currently in the Ocean View area. We believe it's a very desirable area. Some of the possible uses that would complement this area listed in the B1 would be restaurants, bakery, hair salon, flower shop, small grocery type market, doctor's offices, and various other types of professional offices, just to name a few. Many of the business uses currently are in the town of Bethany or on Route 26 and are difficult to travel during the height of the season. The B1 uses, we believe, are not out of character with the neighborhood. As stated earlier, the applicant wants to support the neighborhood so that the residents can avoid travel to Route 26 or other congested areas during the height of the season. In fact, many AR1 uses are not compatible with the area any longer, and the higher zoning already approved by the county would be consistent with the application. B1 uses would not be adverse uses that would reduce property values. And as we stated, we believe many of the AR1 would, in fact, have a higher detriment to property values than the proposed B1 uses. We would propose, as I said earlier, the look and feel of the complex would look residential rather than looking like a standard strip center stuck in the middle of a community. The restrictions will assist in concerns to avoid creating a blemish in the neighborhood. The walking path through the community is just one idea that would assist in giving homogeneity to the site with the other adjacent communities. It's not a large complex. The initial engineering calculations on possible uses indicate that we could have a maximum of around 27,000 square feet. The proposed original engineering, we proposed three buildings, each approximately 9,000 square feet. The applicant's finding indicate a desire by overall residents in the larger area for general business type use. The applicant recognizes this and therefore seeks to fulfill that need. Dealing with the comprehensive plan, the land use and development trends in this area would allow this land to be an appropriate site for neighborhood business. In fact, the comprehensive plan has this property in the environmentally sensitive developing area and permits this type of use in that plan. It specifically states uses should be limited to neighborhood shopping and businesses to serve the rapidly expanding population. This area is definitely that type of expanding population that the plan addresses, as well as the application being the type the plan desires in B1 zoning. Furthermore, the plan states that careful mixtures of homes with light commercial and institutional uses can be appropriate to provide for convenient services and to allow people to work close to home. This type of B1 use is the applicant's intended goal, to support the local community with business that they desire, that are close to their home, so they don't have to travel to Route 26 or other congested areas in the height of the season. A rezone to B1 would permit and be consistent with those uses in the immediate area. It's not overly broad. In fact, they would be more consistent. A rezone is appropriate to eliminate the need to keep returning to the county for conditional uses that may be permitted in an AR1 district, but appropriate now for this area due to higher zone districts and a few other non-residential uses that were approved by the county for surrounding parcels. The small size of proposed neighborhood business complex also meets the concerns of the comprehensive plan directives. It's not a large complex with a lot of surface, with a lot of runoff. It's a relatively small site, and the stormwater can be maintained with on-site and not create additional pollutants to the inland bay. Having the infrastructure in place for sewer and water also satisfies the comprehensive plan. In conclusion, the granting of the change of zone is in accordance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. It promotes the health, safety, morals, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the present and future inhabitants of Sussex County. And the adoption of the change of zone is for the general convenience and welfare of the inhabitants of Sussex County. And I will let Mr. Davidson address some of the engineering issues, and then we can field some questions from you.
All right, then.
Good evening. I'm Mark Davidson with Design Consultants Group in Milton, Delaware. Ms. Ballier has gone through and covered most of the presentation booklet. What I'm going to outline real carefully, quickly here and carefully, and again, we are here rezoning the piece of property to neighborhood business B1. The site plan, this isn't for site plan approval, but some of the things I'm going to talk about is relative to the actual site plan that I've prepared for the site for Mr. Frank. So as was stated, this property is the property is identified as tax map 13416, parcel 382. It's approximately 3.93 acres in size. It's located on the northwest intersection of Muddy Neck Road and Parker House Road. Again, the property is zoned AR1, and we are asking for a rezoning of B1. As Ms. Ballier stated, that this property is in the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone. As such, the section of the zoning code, which is section 115-194.3, talks about certain things that we, certain requirements when you're in that overlay zone. And I've, in the booklet, I do have a there is a section for the overlay zone, and I'm going to briefly run through some of the aspects of our site plan that we've come up with. The first requirement under the overlay zone talks about the preparation of an environmental assessment report. Included in the environment in the booklet is a copy of an environmental assessment report that was prepared by my office along with other consultants that we work with. Just to highlight, and I'm not going to go through the whole report; it's there for your review. But just to kind of highlight some of the things that we did for this report. One of the studies that was done by Kenneth W. Redinger Environmental Services, he did a wetlands evaluation of the site and found that there were no wetlands located on this site. There is a small that runs down, that actually runs down the north side. It's approximately 60 feet in from the north boundary line along Providence, and this piece of property is a small drainage swale that runs from west to east, drains to Muddy Neck Road, provides some of the drainage for Shady Dell Park. So in our design, what we will do and what the requirements from the state of Delaware during the design of this site, whatever the when we come up with a final site plan for this, would be we will take care of that stormwater that is going through that site and handle it on site, handle on ours, and again, discharge at a pre-development rate. Some downstream analysis work will probably be provided during our design, and that also is addressed in my environmental report here. Also, in the environmental assessment, we had some soils work done by Dr. John Dixon, a professional soil scientist. He's also a professional nutrient specialist. He also did a nutrient budget, a nutrient loading assessment report, which is in the report here for the site, based on the pollution control strategies nutrient protocol. And in there, the findings were that by taking the site and developing it the way we are, connecting it to central wastewater, doing the best management practices, and I'll go over some of the design aspects that we are propose for this site. We would reduce the nitrogen levels for this site as required under the pollution control strategy. And the last two reports that are in the assessment here was Mr. Frank, upon purchasing both these properties here and connecting them together, had a phase one environmental site assessment done. So that is in the booklet also. One of the other requirements that talks about stormwater management, the proposed drainage design and the effect on stormwater quality and quantity. Our proposal for this site is what we're showing right now with this site plan layout are two essentially dry ponds. What they're going to be is they're going to be biofiltration ponds, and we're also going to propose some biofiltration swales along with some filter strips. Biofiltration system's primary function is to mitigate the normal impacts of urbanization on the natural water balance. And this is done by turning water that would normally become surface runoff into a resource that waters trees, recharge groundwater. The infiltration systems also function to improve water quality and removing pollutants. And as I stated, we did do a nutrient protocol for this site, and we are reducing the pollutants for the site. The over here at this board here, as you can see, we're providing for significant amount of landscaping, as well as landscaping within the islands. Our overall stormwater concept, again, with the using the biofiltration system in the ponds, is to promote a lot of landscaping. That will also provide for a lot of buffering from the adjacent neighbors of this site. As was stated previously, Tidewater does have the CPCN for this area, and we do have a willing and able letter. Again, Mr. Lank read into the record. This is in Sussex County, the South Ocean View Sewer District. 15 EDUs have been allocated for this project. Going with the types of uses that Mr. Frank would like to see on this site, and based on the building that we laid out, the calculated EDUs that I came up with was just a little over 9 EDUs. So there will be plenty of EDUs here for this site. One of the requirements is an analysis on the increase in traffic.
As stated by Mr. Lang, we received today a letter of no objection. With that letter of no objection, we had to go through some pretty rigorous comments and design aspects
for the entrance on this site, as well as off-site improvements. Again, there was no traffic impact study that was warranted for this project. In the booklet, in the under the Del Dot section, are some letters from Mr. Bill Brockenbrow, and there is a plan. It's a conceptual entrance and off-site road improvement plan, and if you look at this, you can see the amount of off-site road improvements that have to be done for whatever project that we come up with here or whatever use that we decide to do here. But for this particular site plan, and the road improvements aren't going to change all that much because what we had to assume was some worst-case scenarios under what we're proposing for the zoning change here. So there'll be dedicated left-turn lanes.
Actually, what will have to happen here, the dedication existing property for an expansion of the right-of-way is going to have to occur for both Money Neck Road and Parker House Road. The deceleration lane will have to be installed. A left turn lane into this site, as well as providing a left turn lane for Butler Boulevard that goes into Bridal Ridge Estates across the street, will also have to be provided. Bike lanes will need to be put in, shoulders, and so there's a significant amount of road improvements here that will have to be done if this project is approved and once we move forward with entrance construction plans.
One of the other things that we show on the plan which will be required is the multimodal path that runs across the front of the property. Again, that path will also
will help bring the community to the site without having to get on the major roadway. As Ms. Balliet stated earlier, that we are providing some walkways throughout the site here. We show the Shady Dell Park in the back here. We do show a connection to Mimosa Street in the back here, or I guess where Mimosa Street and Willow Street come to a curb there, so that pedestrians from the adjacent residential areas can walk to the facility or walk to the site without having to get in their vehicle and come to the site. One of the requirements is the presence of any endangered and threatened species. Again, Mr. Redinger, there was found that there were no state rare or federally listed species or their habitat within the property. The preservation and protection from any loss of tidal or non-tidal wetlands. Again, there were no federal state regulated wetlands that were present on site. They talk about the provision for open space. The site plan that we're proposing right now is showing a little bit over approximately about 1.3 acres of open space. It's better seen on the color rendering that we submitted with the booklet. You can see all the green area along with the walking paths. We're trying to buffer. Again, we've pulled away this type of design here for this building with the residential look, the parking lot, trying to do some parking lot trees, the plantings within the parking lot. We pulled away the parking and everything from the Shady Dell subdivision and doing a lot of landscaping and buffering. It talks about provisions for public and private infrastructure. Again, I talked about the off-site road improvements that are going to have to be done, not just for this project, but again, the dedicated left turn lane that will go in across the street. Stated in the letter from Sussex County Engineering Department on the sanitary sewer, sewer upgrades will be required for this project. The economic recreation and other benefits, the proposed rezoning of this property to neighborhood B1 will enhance the general character of the neighborhood by providing retail shopping and personal service uses to serve the needs of the relatively residential area. Again, the style of the building being proposed will reflect in the character of the neighborhood. It talks about the historic and cultural resources that are listed on the site. We did a search within the Division of Historical and Cultural Affairs Office, and nothing was known for this parcel. And then this property is, again, what is in the 2007 Comprehensive Plan update as a developing area, and a level two. It's in a level two area for the state policies and spending. The last thing on this was the actions to be taken by the applicant to mitigate the detrimental impacts identified relevant to the subsections I just previously talked about and the manner in which they are consistent with the comprehensive plan. Again, we paid careful attention on directing and making sure the buildings in the parking lot tried to stay centered, focused within the property. We looked at pulling them away from the property lines, providing plenty of buffering as well as landscaping for this site. So we provided for pedestrian connectivity from the adjacent residential neighborhood. And again, Mr. and Mrs. Frank's desire to target users for this site that will provide a personal service to the residential neighborhood while maintaining a natural condition in a way that will result in a cohesive character with a strong sense of community identity. So all these aspects that we've put together here, and we've worked on this for a long time to be able to, and again, the Franks want to be able to provide for a nice project here. And again, if you look at the project narrative that was in the beginning of the book, the project as proposed utilizes good design and development practices to promote compatibility of adjacent uses, minimize impact on natural resources, and achieve the program objectives of the local road system.
Any
if you want to ask us some questions. I think we're done feeding your information with all that.
Right then, well, we'll see if anyone has any questions for you. And we'll start with this time, we'll start with Mr. Burton.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
I have a question really maybe for Vince. The findings that they proposed to put all, as a deed restriction, is that, would that stay with the B1 status?
No, that's separate and distinct from anything that the county does. I mean, if it's approved, it's approved. That's a deed restriction that they'd put on there. The county can't condition the change in zone to B1. It couldn't rely really on those restrictions in granting the B1. It has to be
enforceable.
It wouldn't be enforceable by the county. It would be enforceable by somebody else if they chose to enforce them, you know, as a private contractual matter, essentially.
Well, I think you're asking, is it enforceable that, in the sense, can we require those deed restrictions? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
We really can't. We would be relying on the integrity of the applicant and the fact that they testified to that in front of all these folks, but the law doesn't allow us to do that because that amounts to what's called contract zoning, which is illegal. So, but the applicants are free to offer whatever they want, you know, but there's no way that we can actually compel them to do it. We're relying on their integrity.
Nor could you base your decision on that either.
And because so many people are accustomed to you placing conditions, I think even some members of the audience may expect that you could place conditions on this type of thing, and you can't, but we're willing to place those as deed restrictions later on. That's why we address them the way we did, since you can't in conditions.
And if you place those restrictions, who would be the recipient of those to control those restrictions?
Well, we were proposing to place them not only against the property, but against the site plan. So then you could later enforce them if they were in the site plan.
But we've had some instances where the developer actually offered it to the residents within the adjacent subdivision or whatever as a controlling group to allow to have to approve any change.
Mm-hmm.
We've had that a few times as well. But it can't be the county.
I mean, if it's a site plan, like if you're talking about, I think one of them mentioned was landscaping and walking paths. And if you propose that on the site plan at that stage of this, you know, if the rezoning's approved and you're at the site plan stage and it's on the site plan and the site plan's approved, that's what the county would enforce.
That's enforceable.
Yeah, that's enforceable. But as far as restrictions go,
we would have to get to the point where we have a site plan. This is step one.
Yeah, right.
So now I know that. So what would be the buffer requirement between the Shady Dell Park subdivision and a future B1 possibility?
Setback.
Just the setbacks.
Pretty much. Until the site plan comes in. Because it's B1 and the neighboring property was zoned residential, their setbacks would be 60 from the front, which would be Muddy Neck Road and 20 on the sides and 30 on the rear.
So there would be a 20-foot
side yard
between the neighbors and the...
At a minimum, yeah, but they could do more, but the ordinance would allow them to go that close.
Okay.
It's all dependent on the site plan they submit.
Okay. Was there any conversation with the neighbors of Shady Brook to see maybe if they even wanted a walking path going to their neighborhood?
I know Mr. Frank, and maybe we can even have him speak to directly if you'd like. He addressed some of the surrounding property owners to try to address their concerns. I know he addressed the Homeowners Association at Providence and a few of the adjoining neighbors at Shady Dell Park. I believe he addressed the entire community at Shady Dell, just the adjacent property owners.
That's all the questions I have at this point.
All right, sir. Mr. Gordy?
Getting back to the buffers, I know this is a change of zone, but it's hard not to be able to talk about the site plan.
I know.
What are the distance of your buffers as far as the width?
What I'm proposing along Shady Dell is a 20-foot landscape buffer. And that's what I'm showing landscaped right now is 20 feet. The stormwater facilities will be 20 feet back. That way we can, you know, properly landscape and heavily landscape these property lines. We also talked about providing a 6-foot-high privacy fence along there to help shield to help with the buffer. That will be.
Do you feel that some of this landscaping will curtail noise or minimize noise?
Yes. Yeah, it should help with in alleviating some of the noise that would come from this shopping center. Again, one of the things that we had talked about and what I've tried to do here is I've tried to pull away. I'm showing some proposed dumpster locations. Again, they can be readjusted, but I've got them far enough away from the, you know, trying to get them far enough away from the adjacent boundary lines where they're not, the dumpsters will not be a nuisance.
Okay. And you said one of your D restrictions was they couldn't be open past 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. That way you avoid bars or, you know, any type of dance club or something like that where, you know, people can stay past 11.
This is just an observation, but I think it's, I can't speak for the people out here, but it's probably the fear of the unknown of what's going there. So
yeah. When you look at most restaurants around here, most of them are closed by 10 o'clock, very few. But if you have something that's like a bar, they tend to stay open, sure, you know, well past 11 o'clock. So that's why we limited our hours of operation.
That's all the question I have, Mr. Wheeler.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton, you say you have another question,
yes,
sir?
Yes, just one. The swale that you mentioned that stops halfway through, that runs from Shady Brook to Muddy Branch, right?
That's correct. There's a right along
with this property jets out over here to the west of the site towards, and it actually borders along the right-of-way of Willow Street and the Moses Street.
So you would drain part of Shady Brook into the...
That's correct. That I would have to. The state would require that.
And then you would carry the drainage all the way out.
That's correct.
Because it stops.
With the type of stormwater facility that we would like to propose for this, you know,
would be to try to handle as much of it on site as we can, and then prior to discharging it, there's an outlet right here. It's a significant size swale system along Money Neck Road. So prior to it hitting that system, and you know, it'll decrease some of the impacts to that existing system also.
Okay. Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
No questions. Thanks.
All right, then. We thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1641, Thomas E. Frank? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1641? Okay, this lady's on the move, so we'll let her go first.
Thank you. My name is Gary Lee Cox. I'm the president of the Shady Dell Homeowners Association. Neither myself nor any member of our board has met with Mr. Frank, nor have we had any discussions with Mr. Frank. May I also point out, I moved here from downtown Washington, D.C. A restaurant may close at 11, but they're putting bottles and cans in the dumpster at 1:30 in the morning. Just because the restaurant closes doesn't mean all is quiet. We've heard very nice things about this project, how caring they are about the people from Willow and Mimosa Streets being able to get to the facility. Our most vocal opponents have been those people who live on Willow, Mimosa, and Dogwood Court. In fact, the majority of the residents do object to this zoning change. One of our problems is we have heard that this property is requesting, rezoning is being requested So the property value will increase and it can be turned over immediately. Now, I don't know that that's true, but we have no assurance that any of these restrictions, that any of these promises will be carried out by a subsequent owner. For all we know, the next owner may put up a dance hall or a bar or a combination of both. That's the problem with this just blindly changing the zoning. We're also afraid of a domino effect. Once this property goes commercial, we're afraid that every empty parcel on Muddy Neck Road will also go commercial. Right now, it is the only escape from congestion on 26 or Route 1. It's the only way you can get out. Most of us who are permanent residents are almost trapped in our homes in the summer. If this becomes another ugly commercial strip, you're going to have to put up traffic lights, the speed limit will be lowered, and it will no longer be an option for the locals. There are also other things that have been promised. For instance, the county here, Sussex County and Kent County, are plagued with abandoned dry ponds full of garbage, green scum, breeding mosquitoes. Evidently, there is no mechanism for enforcing maintenance of these ponds for subsequent owners. All you have to do is look at the one that's right next to the Giant Food or the bank, and you will see that they have become garbage dumps. I think that's, we have other members here, other residents who would like to address you, and I do not want to duplicate their remarks.
All right then.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, sir. Grandparents rock.
Yes, we all do.
My name is Ron Liberto. I'm here with my wife, Diane. I am the current president of the Town Homeowners of Providence and current president of Providence Homeowners Association. I have met with Mr. Frank. He's a very nice gentleman, and he is a gentleman. I told him some of the concerns that would come about from Providence, and he seems that he was very ambitious to address those. But as you said, in this meeting, those things being addressed are no guarantees. And if you look on the back balconies or porches of the people living along Calvert Street, which is going to adjoin this property, they will be looking directly into air conditioners, heaters, and whatever has to be put on top to provide the utilities to those particular businesses. Those units are going to be running all night. They're not running while the business is in there. So therefore, with a 20-foot buffer or a 30-foot buffer, whatever the case may be, that noise is still going to travel over into the residential areas. As long as we're talking about Muddy Neck Road, West Avenue, Kent Avenue, as you all know, they run all sequential. I believe on those roads, there's the Melson's Church, and there's a garden, a funeral home, and there's a garden center. Those are the only two businesses, excluding the library in Bethany, that is on that is retail business. This is a community that is residential. We do not want to see it become another Route 26. It's bad enough that people are using this as a bypass when it comes summertime. And some of the people provided that they're locked into their homes come summertime. Well, that's very true. We don't need more businesses. There are open businesses on 26 they cannot rent now. So what do we need more commercial property for? These gentlemen presented a beautiful presentation of how they would come along and make the property look more residential. I'm sorry, it's still commercial. I don't care what you do to the buildings. I know I talked to Mr. Frank about that. I made suggestions, and he's probably sitting up here thinking, well, why did he give the suggestions to me? Well, I've been in business. I know what it is. I know what it is to fight for zoning. And what I was trying to do was give him suggestions that if this goes through, we want some assurance that, you know, what's the center going to look like? You know, you talk about, I don't know what the percentage of green that is here. Well, if you're talking about the little sewer ponds or ponds, what you call them, it's not them putting them in there. They're being mandatory to put those in there. I don't think you can put enough greenage when it comes to putting buildings up and having ample parking spots to handle the retail business. With that in mind, I know Mr. Lank presented some 24 or so letters. And what I'd like to do now is, if you don't mind, to just appease my wife and I, for her to read one of the letters from Janice Penman. And it covers just about everything that I said, and it coincides with all the rest of the letters that you have received. And also emails, I believe, has been sent forward. So I'll ask my wife to read this for you.
It has come to our attention that a rezoning application has been submitted for the reference parcel in 1641. My husband and I are residents in the Providence development at 6 Calvert Street, and our townhome immediately abuts the parcel that is the subject of this application, and I am writing to express our opposition to the application. We purchased our home in 2002 and chose Providence in large part because of the quiet, non-commercial nature of the surrounding area. As you will recall, there was significant development occurring within Sussex County in 2002, and as a result, there were many communities within which we could have purchased a home. But we desired a location where we would be insulated from traffic congestion and noise, which is more common to communities located along Route 26. We live in a city on a daily basis and are well aware of problems that come along with living in close proximity to commercially zoned properties. If we had known that our quiet neighborhood would, in a few short years, begin to resemble the crowded and congested commercial corridors like Route 26, we never would have chosen to invest in real estate in this area. We purchased our property with the expectation that the surrounding area would remain zoned residential. Any change to the current zoning would clearly be out of character with the surrounding area. Given the fact that a significant amount of underdeveloped, commercially zoned land is situated just 1 mile from the subject parcel, there appears to be no compelling reason to change the zoning status from residential to commercial. In fact, the significant number of vacancies in developed commercial properties along Route 26 should in itself demonstrate that the demand for commercial property is weak in this area. Given the low demand for additional commercial space and the detrimental effects that commercial development would cause the surrounding residents, including but not limited to increased traffic and congestion, crime, and noise, a change to the zoning of the subject parcel is entirely inappropriate. Over the last 2 years, homeowners around the country, including Sussex County, have experienced a significant decline in the value of their homes. While real estate values generally are likely to recover over the next several years, recovery of values within communities surrounding the subject parcel will be materially impacted if the proposed rezoning is allowed to proceed. This recovery will be further impeded if after development the subject parcel remains vacant for a significant period of time, which is very likely given the low demand for commercial space in this area. The zoning laws were enacted primarily to prevent new development from interfering with existing residents and to preserve the character of a community. We purchased our property in the Providence development in reliance on the fact that the Planning and Zoning Commission would protect our interest in preserving the residential nature of the areas immediately surrounding our home. The hardship posed to the residents of Providence and other communities surrounding the subject parcel, if the zoning application is approved, far outweighs any hardship to the property owner. The owner of the subject parcel knew at the time of purchase that the parcel was zoned residential and therefore should have no expectation regarding the ability to develop the parcel in a commercial manner. And well, the last paragraph, they asked to be provided any copies of any correspondence.
I'm pretty sure that Mr. Lank has presented this, but I would also like to,
as this being officially running in, and I've put my name and contact information at the bottom of that letter,
and would like to be contacted. I am the resident agent for Providence, so any immediate contact for Providence would go through myself.
You are asking us to contact you for what?
I will keep contact, but I would say if there's any notification that can be sent out, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, typically the office will post those things on the internet and in the published agenda and so on. We typically just don't have time to contact people.
That I understand, and I will look for it myself. But I didn't know the
procedure.
It'll
be out there, and you're welcome to contact the office anytime you like.
Thank you. Okay.
Yes. Miles always there for you to look at.
Okay. I believe that's the Providence, what we have to say, and we thank you for your time.
All right, sir. We thank you. And who's next? Okay. The lady in the light blue all the way in the back.
Good evening. My name is Lori Fry, and I live adjacent to the applicant's property. I'm here tonight to voice my objection to a changing in zoning that would bring business spaces to my neighborhood. The developer states his intent is to enhance the vitality of the existing community. I believe this cannot be achieved by placing a business in a residential area. I believe Mr. Frank has made a bad business decision and now wants to saddle this quiet residential area with its consequences, and then he will move on. I have visited 124 residents in the surrounding neighborhoods. Of those 124 homes, 116 opposed to this project. That's 94%. I have names, address, and signatures on petitions here. My objections are residents' preferences to get away from business traffic and enjoy the natural beauty and quiet of the neighborhood. All business needs and services are met currently by numerous shops, including pet, financial, dining, healthcare, and more. These are all within less than 2 miles and do not require traveling on 26 to get there. Maintenance of the ponds historically is very minimal at best. This contributes to debris and pet issues. The noise and the smell of the proposed dumpsters and loading area will detract from the natural beauty of the area. Lighting will detract from the natural beauty of woods and starlit skylights. This will also be a disturbance to surrounding residents. The potential for illegal activities such as loitering, dumping, and drug traffics are a concern, especially since it is currently served by the state police barrack out of Georgetown and not by Ocean View Police. This would certainly mean slower response time. The number of empty homes and businesses that currently exist does not seem to justify additional business space. Property values would not be sustained if business space were approved and would result in economic hardship for local residents. In closing, I'd like to ask, how would the Franks like to exchange homes and have proposed businesses, dumpsters, noise, and deteriorating environmental conditions in their backyard? I have moved permanently to this area to enjoy the peace and quiet and all the area has to offer. I have made significant sacrifices and investments in my home. This project would certainly detract from all that I have worked for. I'm respectfully requesting that this commission give due consideration to the affected residents' concerns and objections and reject this application. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
You want to submit that?
Would you like to submit that and submit your petitions for the record? Give them to, yeah, to our attorney there. Don't count if we don't have them.
That's the statement, okay. Okay. Thanks.
All right, we thank you. Who's next? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. I'm Sandy Poole, and I live in Plantation Park. I, too, in addition to Lori's petition, I have 9 different communities for a total of 186 people, of which 175 opposed any change from residential to business or commercial. 11 people did not sign this petition for the following reason. 4 wanted the business, 4 had no opinion, and three, were undecided. I have those right here. I hope this is not another case that falls on the deaf ears. So many people down here do not care anymore or say, why bother? They feel that the planning and zoning and the county council do not listen to them. I hope we can change that impression so people will want to get involved for their communities and their future. Once the business is built, there's no taking them down. The majority of people in Plantation Park that I've talked to, including myself, are against any rezoning to business or commercial. This is totally out of character with the neighborhood in a 2 to 4 mile radius. Yes, there's 3 other businesses in the area. One's the fruit stand, which is seasonal. One is the Melson Funeral Home, which basically traffic 3 to 5, 7 to 9 on a large parcel of land, very low impact to the neighborhood. The other one is Paul's, and he's been in business for 28 years, which is down by Plantation Park. I feel by letting this zoning change go through, it has the potential of opening a can of worms. The surrounding areas are single-family homes, townhomes, and a group of apartments. The owner of this property bought this land with his eyes wide open. In fact, he said he lived in the area over 20 years. There's no reason why he cannot construct housing to conform to the area. Except Mr. Frank, when asked why he won't build homes, he said, homes are not selling. Do we have another case of greed here? He wants to build a strip mall. In fact, there are many places on Route 26, Millsboro, Dagsboro, and I'm sure you gentlemen know that still remain empty. Do you want Muddy Neck to become another Route 26? The vast majority say no. If people need a business, it's only a half mile ride to Route 26, 2 miles to Route 17, and 4 miles to Route 54. Surely that's not a long distance to drive. We know that any business in our area will increase traffic and crime. We have a lot of joggers and bikers, and I'm sure you don't want to put their lives in danger with any more traffic. The Bethany Fenwick area advertises our area as a quiet resort. I don't feel putting businesses in a residential neighborhood will continue to be a quiet resort. This is a business to Mr. Frank, but it is our lives. Please think long and hard about this decision. Why should this be another case that so many suffer for so few? Let us not make the same mistakes that we've done in the past. Let us conform to the area and finally listen to the people. And if you look at his one drawing over here, I'm done. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you.
My petition.
If you want them in the record, you'll need to give them to our attorney. Who's next?